Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you guys the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone had a blessed New Year's and a very safe weekend at that. We definitely had a great time here. It was, you know, nice little break for the show on Monday, even though we were still open here at Health Masters, which a lot of you guys were able to call us up and get stuff, and so we're getting everything shipped out, actually packed up yesterday, and it all went to the post office this morning. So, yeah, we appreciate everybody's support, and welcome to 2018. How are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing great. I was laughing yesterday because Sharon read me kind of a joke, and she said that, you know, when we were kids, you know, on New Year's Day, we weren't allowed to go to New Year's Eve. We couldn't go to parties, and, you know, we had to be in bed at 9, 10 o'clock, and we couldn't go out and, you know, hang out with the friends until the middle of the night, all that kind of stuff. And now that we're in our 60s, we kind of do all that stuff anyhow. Nobody has to punish us to do it. And I got such a kick out of that. I said, you know, you're absolutely right. I said, it's one of those things. When you get older, you get wiser, and you start realizing that the behaviors that you did as a child simply aren't behaviors that you need to continue to do. I mean, going out and driving around on New Year's Eve, you know, at midnight to about 4 o'clock in the morning, probably has the highest incident of drunk drivers in the world at that point in time, and it's not really safe to be out on the roads, period. And, you know, when you're told that when you're a kid, you don't really pay any attention to it. Now that we're not children anymore, we kind of realize that is a very true statement. Oh, my congratulations to the Crimson Tide fans, Alabama fans, and to the Georgia fans as far as making the national playoff game for next week for the college football season for 2017. I'm really happy for both those teams. I personally thought Clemson could have showed up a little bit better than they did last night, but I was really happy with Georgia, and I was really happy with the team they played last night. They were very, very, very good teams. I got an article that came in today, and I want to kind of share this with you. And it's from a lady by the name of Frumpovich. And it's a new world order numbering that's happening right now, and it's called the ID 2020 Alliance. Now, I wanted to share this with you because what they're doing is exactly what we told you they were going to do. The United States, Great Britain, Japan, the European Union, which means all the European Union states, and Norway, they're tied together with UNICEF and several other major processing of information groups through a Ministry of Health, through a National Registration Bureau, and through an electoral commission. They're going to be doing birth registrations, vaccine child health cards, which gives a complete indication of how many vaccines these people have got in all these countries, voter registration, refugee registration, and national ID cards. All of this stuff is tying together to get you the ID 2020 Alliance, and this is being tied together to get to the United Nations, and Bill Gates is really, really pushing it. If you look closely at the chart, you realize the importance of vaccinations and how much of an impact they'll play in the alliance and the apparent role of Big Pharma and what they will take in providing an ever-increasing number of vaccines, which will probably never see legitimate scientific testing for safety or efficacy ever. Now, what's interesting about all of this, Gavi, another organization involved in this, was officially launched at the World Economic Forum in 2000 at a time when multiple organizations were pursuing a siloed approach to immunizations, leading to inefficiencies and ineffectiveness in the market for vaccines. The organization's founding partners, including UNICEF and the World Bank, here we go, get ready guys, this is the 17 Kabbalists, and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, have developed donor governments and others, recognizing that the uncoordinated programs and unpredictable financing were hindering vaccination efforts, which means eugenics, and hypothesized that the streamlining funding was a critical driver to a coordinated approach. As such, the alliance not only coordinates action on the ground, making sure everybody gets vaccinated, everybody on the planet who's involved in this, but achieves scale and impact by operating as a multi-stakeholder partnership around a single funding entity, Rothschild Bank, Sabatine Kabbalists. The alliance raises a single fund to support global immunization efforts, then channels the funding into vaccination programs, meeting criteria determined by the alliance partners, Rothschild Bank, Sabatine Kabbalists. The result has been coordinated programs, efficient use of funding, and a large pooled market for vaccines that has driven down the cost of vaccines for more than almost a billion children worldwide. And these are statements that have been made by Bill Gates. Now, what's interesting about this is probably a new world order game to basically create a mandatory global vaccination so the transhumanism agenda can be more fast-tracked more readily, since so many of the neurotoxic agents in vaccines adversely affect human DNA. Plus, if you check out the UN's Agenda 21 and 2030, you know, it also goes into detail on this too, as far as the alliance together they're doing together with the United Nations. So what's interesting about this is this creates a spider web of controlling factors that allow the CDC's power grab proposed rule on different diseases around the United States. This is why I'm so opposed to the Gottlieb domination for the FDA, because he's going to fast track all of this. And it's like we talked about a few years ago on the show, their whole goal, Austin, here is to force mandatory vaccinations on everybody in the United States. Now, they've done this already with the younger generation. If you're up to the age of about 30, you've had a boatload of immunizations, unless you've opted out of those or your parents opted you out. The younger children are getting much, much, much more. So that means half the viable population up to the age of 60 now has been pretty much immunized to the point where they want them immunized. And now they've got a problem with the older guys, which are us, me, guys over 50s and 60s, and they're wiping out a bunch of us now using flu shots, which have so much mercury in them that just three flu shots over the age of 60 in a row increases the risks of senile dementia by up to 50%. So they're getting rid of the people who know what's really happening in the United States by destroying their brains with neurotoxicity agents like aluminum, you know, fluoride, you know, mercury, etc. So I find it fascinating, Austin, that they're actually going to set up this giant ID program based around your medical records, your voting records, your, you know, your citizenship, your, you know, vaccine status, and it's going to tie all together with the new world government. What do you think about this?
Yes, this is something that we've addressed for many years coming up now, and I had a feeling that it was going to be coming up pretty soon, especially with the UN Agenda 2020, 2021, and a lot of the aspects of what they've been doing. The issue that they've run into now is that with the internet and the amount of information that's coming out about vaccines, more and more families now are actually starting to swing the pendulum backwards where it used to be, as far as a lot of kids are not getting vaccinations, like myself and like my children as well. The issue that they have found with this, the globalists, where I refer to they, is that they have a hard time monitoring this because a lot of the vaccination records, as Dad was just saying, are not really categorized in a easy to shift through fashion. There's not something where you just go to one doctor and you say, okay, I've had this right here, here's my social security number, and it pulls up every aspect of everything you've ever done medically. They don't really have that yet, and that's a good thing, because what a lot of times families could do is they go to a pediatrician, they can go, you know what, our children's already had their vaccinations from another doctor, another pediatrician, so we're going to go ahead and hold off right now. We're just not going to go ahead and get them, or we're going to delay them to a further time. And sometimes, in most cases, the pediatrician will say, okay, that's fine, we'll do them later, I'm not worried about it right now if you've already had them. And so that's a one runaround that we can do now to get away with. The aspect of what they want to do as far as bringing everything, including our medical history, vaccination history, voter history, is because they want to have a full base data system on every person. This is why they've been doing this with the phone records, the search engines, the fingerprints, the facial recognition scanners. This is one of the primary aspects of the giant NSA spying database center, the super center out in Utah, that they built a couple years ago, actually it's longer than that, about 7-8 years ago now, to go in and build a database on every single person. So it doesn't matter where you go, what you do, you're going to have every single thing about you, whether it's your arrest record, whether it's your driving record, whether it's your vaccination record, whether it's your medical history, whether it's what you look at on the in your search engines. If you look at basically, you know, alternative news, if you pull up Hagman Report, if you listen to the Austin Ted Brower show, they're going to have all this. So they're going to understand exactly how to handle you immediately as soon as you arrive. The first aspect they're going to do is put this on a card, like they talked about before, where a national ID card. They've already done this now in a lot of states. They've been conforming to this. Florida driver's licenses, I've not personally seen one yet, but I heard they changed at the end of 2017 now. They're starting to push over to this whole system where they're going to have basically a chip and scan them in the near future. And see, what this is going to make it do is make it much, much easier to roll in the implantable device that's going to go into your wrist that you're going to basically be able to scan. This is the end goal that they're going to want to implement in the next couple of years. But they have to get it on a chip and a card first. The next, I would say, in my predictions, the next 2 to 3 years, what they're going to roll out is they're going to say, we understand, guys, these national ID cards are a pain in the butt. They're very important now. You have to have them. You can't go anywhere, do anything without them, or else you can basically be subject to arrest. So we're going to make it easier for you guys to not lose them or forget them, and we're just going to offer you a little option where you can implant it in your wrist, tiny little chip. You won't even know it's there. You won't even feel it. And so what'll happen is if you get pulled over, if you go to the courthouse, if you go to the doctor's office, they'll simply scan this little chip that's in your wrist. You won't even know it's there. You won't even feel it. You'll not even have any idea it stays there, and it'll automatically have all your information. So you won't have to worry about a card. You won't have to worry about being unneedly, you know, arrested for unjust causes. You don't have to worry about keeping the card with you or getting a new one. And it's going to make life so much simpler, guys. So how about we just do that? We'll do it for free, and you can have this chip implanted and, you know, make it much, much more simpler for your entire life. That's where it's going now, guys. That's why they have to have a national ID card now. That's why they have to have all the information of your background on that card. Because the next rollout will be the implantable devices, Dad. So, yes, it's scary to see that this is actually happening because we've talked about it for years, but now it's actually happening for real. So everybody has to be very aware of this. It's difficult because you don't want to comply with this, but when they start doing things like, well, if you get pulled over with your old driver's license, you're going to be arrested for driving without a valid driver's license. You go, well, how does that work? I don't want to get a new national ID card driver's license. I want to use my old one that has no chip. Doesn't matter if we pull you over and you have this car, we're basically going to arrest you immediately on the spot. This is going to be another way as well that they can go in and do a soft gun confiscation. His dad has talked so many times before. If they pull John Smith over and they scan his national ID card, and of course it's going to pull up probably every firearm you've ever purchased on the books that you've bought through an FFL dealer, they're going to say, Mr. John Smith, it's showing here that you have an AR-15 that hasn't been registered yet in the state of California, and you have a bullet button on it, which makes it an assault weapon, and you haven't registered it yet, sir, so we're going to go and have to detain you right now immediately and arrest you and charge you possession of a felony assault weapon. Until you get that firearm relinquished to the police department, you'll be held in custody until then. That right there will again be the soft gun confiscation, because as you guys already know, California brought in, is 2018, their ammunition control, which I've talked about this so many times now, which means it's going to be completely illegal to buy out-of-state ammunition or possess an unregistered AR-15. One thing that I did find out, I have not verified this yet, but I've been trying to dig down into it because nobody can seem to get the exact statute. But from what I've been told from one of the individuals I know out in California, if you go out of state now, so say you go to Nevada, or you go up to Washington State or somewhere out there, and you go buy, say, a 500 bulk pack of 5.56 ammunition. Great price on it, great deal. You go buy it, and you drive back into California. If you drive back into California with that ammunition, and you're a California resident, and you get pulled over, and they can prove with a receipt or with a bank transaction or credit card transaction that you purchased that ammunition out of state and brought it back into California illegally, which it is illegal now, from what I'm being told, it's going to be a felony possession of unregistered ammunition, which will be punishable basically by a year and one day in federal penitentiary if you get convicted of that crime. So this is about to turn up a whole nother notch in California, as you guys already know as well. Starting January 1st, 2019, exactly 1 year from now, they will also be requiring full point-of-sale background checks through the NICS database for any ammunition purchases inside the state of California whatsoever. On top of that, they have also added this year, before buying a firearm, you have to obtain a firearm safety certificate. You also have to endure a 10-day waiting period for any gun purchases. You have to pass a full background check. You also have to register all firearms with the state. And also, too, with the assault weapons ban that I talked about this implementing in July, and also, too, they added in a new law against any K-12 teachers, even with a concealed carry permit, cannot carry their firearm or even use a firearm to shoot back an intruder that's inside of a school. Also, too, they have the good cause requirement for concealed carry already, which means you have to have a good reason for applying for the concealed carry permit. As of right now, last year, there are only 197 concealed carry permits issued in Los Angeles County, which has a population of over 10 million people. 197 concealed carry permits were issued last year. So this shows you where it's going. California is kind of ahead of the game as far as the New World Order globalist agenda, and they're showing us exactly what they're trying to do now. On top of that, they're also claiming that because of the bill that Jerry Brown signed in October, they are now officially classified as a sanctuary state as of Monday now. It is home to estimated 2.3 million illegal immigrants. The new law bars police in the nation's most populous state from asking people about their immigration status or participating in federal immigration enforcement activities whatsoever. As a joke, an individual put up a very professional-looking sign underneath the Welcome to California entrance sign going into the state that said, "This is an official sanctuary state. Felons, illegals, and MS-13 welcome. Democrats need the votes." And so far, this looks like it's a legitimate sign. Obviously, it was not put up by the Department of Transportation, but a lot of people are kind of joking about it. But on the other hand, too, it's not really a joke, Dad.
Not a joke at all, Austin. Because quite proud. You remember California, that was not legal for pot to be used as a recreational substance. It's like you said, it's California's kind of the template of where they want the entire country to go.
Yes.
You know, we've had a quarter of a million white people now die of drug overdose, heroin overdose in the United States, quarter of a million. And we've got these big drug companies that push this OxyContin out like it's candy, and they incentivize their doctors to push it to get more and more people addicted to the OxyContin that's coming in off the streets from other manufacturers, including the global manufacturing groups out of Pakistan, Belgium, in India. And what's interesting about all of this stuff is that, you know, where they've doubled the amount of heroin production last year, doubling the amount of quota. They went from 500 square miles of land to 1,000 square miles, from 4,500 tons to 10,000 tons of heroin. And it's all coming to the United States, or a big chunk of it. And what the thing is now you say, well, pot doesn't cause you to use heroin. No, it doesn't. But a lot of kids start with pot and they experiment because they like the pot so much. They say, we're going to try a little bit higher, a little bit more harder dose of pot. We're going to lace it with something. And a lot of pot's being laced with, you know, with heroin and other types of compounds. And the thing about it is that we have to understand something. If we're not careful, the entire country is going to go the way of California, which is what they want, Austin. And also think about this too. Since we're going to get a 2020 ID now, a global ID, United States national ID, they're going to want to know who's got the guns. And so all of the information with this concealed carry reciprocity is going to be going right into that same chip. And so this is what they're doing. This is where they're headed. Because, I mean, this weekend I had a phone call from my mother-in-law yesterday, and she was in tears, and she said that her best friend's daughter's son, 22 years old, just died of a heroin overdose on Sunday. And sadly, you know, this is the second person that we know directly, including my wife's own brother, half-brother, who has died of a heroin overdose. He died 2.5 years ago. A quarter of a million white people now have died from heroin overdoses. And it's basically a white blue collar problem. And it's sad because it's happening everywhere in every community all over the country, opiates. And they're pouring in literally by the metric ton into the United States through the CIA, through the Operation Gladio network that was developed on the lily pad bases of all the airports that are all over the world, you know, with the C-130 transport planes coming in out of Afghanistan. And Austin, it's not going to get any better. It's going to get any worse. In fact, AP News just released this. Donald Trump has now accused the Justice Department Tuesday of being part of the deep state and urged prosecution against top aide to former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and former FBI Director James Comey. He also claimed that the U.S. sanctions on North Korea were having an impact, that he was responsible for preventing commercial aviation deaths in 2017, which means apparently there are going to be bombs or planes being shot down. Trump's latest tweets pressed familiar arguments for the president, who is set to begin his first full year in office with the victory of tax legislation, but the Russian investigation is still hanging over his administration. Then he goes on to say, crooked Hillary Clinton's top aide, Uma Abedin, has been accused of disregarding basic security protocols. She put classified passwords into the hands of foreign agents, Trump treated in an apparent reference to a report by the conservative Daily Caller. Remember, sailors' pictures on submarine, jail. Deep State Justice Department must finally act. What he's saying is, sailors can't take pictures on submarines because submarines are classified. If you could take pictures on submarines, you're going to go to jail. So he's saying, as it remains shadowed by the special counsel's Russian investigation, Trump has seized on recent revelations of anti-Trump behavior by some FBI officials, including some who once worked on special counsel Robert Mueller's probe of Russian meddling on the 2016 presidential election to claim bias against him. So Trump is calling out the Justice Department, Austin, as having being part of the deep state. So it's about time that he's done this. So now he's starting to talk to these guys. So now we're going to be, if he's calling out the Justice Department, the next thing he's going to be calling out will be the CIA. And this is where it's going to get really funny for him. He's going to be very, very careful because this is what John F. Kennedy did. He started calling out the Justice Department, started calling out the deep state, started calling out the CIA, and suddenly he found himself with a bullet in his head. So guys, got to continue to pray for this man. If he's indeed who he says he is and he's really trying to change the country, quite frankly, we got to give him our support to the best of our ability. Austin, what do you think?
You're absolutely right. This is where it's going to get real gritty as far as when he gets into the CIA and calling out the Federal Reserve, if he decides to ever do that, and the Rothschild boys. There's a lot of things that still need to be addressed, a lot of things. I'm honestly very pleased on at least some of the stuff that's happened. We've already, you know, been very vocal about Gottlieb and a lot of those points that we're not happy with at all. But in a lot of aspects, some positive things have happened. And I think 2018, he's going to try that even further. And as you said, Dad, once he starts getting into that deep state CIA, Department of Justice, Department of Defense, all this stuff, and he starts seeing what's really going on, he's going to have to be pretty careful. Also, too, on that, I had a buddy of mine send me an article, so I wanted to do a little more research on it, but I found it is pretty crazy, is that they U.S. government employees now make around $525 billion a year, according to the Watchdog Group's report total. That's total government-paid employees. So I want to do a little research into this and see exactly what's going on with how much money we're paying out in the budget, because I was looking at some of the stuff with the budget that got passed the end of this year. And a nonprofit organization, OpenTheBooks.com, looked at the 78 large agencies and found that the average salary of the federal employee now exceeds $100,000 a year, and roughly one in five of those on the government payroll have a six-figure salary. Of almost 30,000 rank-and-file government employees make over $190,000 a year, more than any governor of the 50 states. He said, our oversight report shows the size, scope, and power of the administrative state. Adam Andrzejewski said from Open the Books, he said, over 2 million federal bureaucrats have salaries, extraordinary prerequisites, and lifetime pension benefits. This compensation package has never been seen in the history of the private sector. He said the median wage for American workers was $44,000 a year for a 40-hour work week at the end of 2016, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. He said the federal employees, on top of their pay that they get, also get 8.5 weeks paid time off, including 10 holidays, 13 sick days, and 20 vacation days, meaning they technically only work 9.5 months out of the year. He said those perks alone cost the American taxpayer $22.6 billion a year. And so what's interesting about this is that every man is worth his wages, as far as I'm concerned. I'm not knocking anybody for making good money. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But what we're starting to see here is very basic jobs that in the private sector usually get $40,000 to $60,000 a year, in most cases are usually around double in the government sector, on top of having unbelievably good pensions, having ridiculously good time off, 2.5 months time off, having full health care and other aspects that a lot of times are never even offered. On top of this, they found that five federal agencies alone, including the ATF and DEA, spent $3.1 billion on workers placed on administrative leave in a two-year time span. They said of that cash, $775 million over the last 2 years, to be exact, went to public employees banned from their desks for more than a month, meaning there were workers placed on leave because they were under investigation for misconduct. And we've seen this numerous times, specifically in the DEA and ATF, where these guys will be involved in significant misconduct. They'll literally be given a leave of absence for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months at a time with full pay, full benefits, full health care, everything while they're gone. And this is where they're getting that $3.1 billion expenditure from. So this is the next aspect. When we're looking over $500 billion a year going to federal employees, and some of these guys are making $190,000 a year for basic jobs, we really need to evaluate what we're spending all of our money on. And as you know, I've said before, I don't have a bit of problem with people making good money for the job, but when you're, you know, a desk clerk, you know, with not even a college degree, and you're making $80,000-$90,000 a year, or you're doing other basic jobs like that, you really got to look and see what we're spending a lot of this money on, Dad.
Well, a lot of this started with Obama. He had these huge, huge
raids.
All of his people that came into his administration. See, the socialists like to do that. This is what's so funny with me to these guys. It's like Oprah Winfrey. Or, you know, any of these guys, any of these weirdos. You get these people out there that are billionaires or worth millions of dollars or hundreds of millions of dollars, and they want more and more taxes being paid by the people who make $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year. But yet, they want to be able to put all of their money into offshore foundations and make themselves tax-free. And they want the little people to pay all the bills, and they want the people who are making $100,000 a year. You know, and if that's not that uncommon nowadays for a person to be making $100,000 to $150,000 a year with two people in the family working, I mean, you see that a lot. And so they want us to pay all of the taxes rather than they pay any taxes, and they want themselves to get these huge government subsidies and payments and income, whereas they're the same ones that are railing against the very government paying them the money. And how bad the government is, and how bad capitalism is, but they want to be paid all of this money, or they want to spend their life, you know, on a leisurely track like Obama did, playing golf pretty much every day of his White House tenure, and that's what they want to do. But yet they're going to sit here and tell you how bad the United States is, how bad capitalism is. And don't get me wrong, capitalism's got some issues, okay? It's got some issues. I mean, you know, just look at it this. Look at it this way. Capitalism, because of usury, is being controlled through the international banking cartels. You know, capitalism and human capital and all the different things that we have as far as deriving income from what you do for a living or what you do as far as your production is different than usury interest. That's why the Bible basically completely forbids usury. It doesn't want. In fact, Jesus hated usury. That's why he could. That's one of the reasons he drove the temple people out, the sellers of the goods, the pigeons and the sheep and everything else that were being sold in the pigeon. You know, in the temple block, he ran them out with a whip because they were basically usurers. And you know, if you look in Dante's Inferno, that poem that was written, you know, back around 1200-1300, he talked about the different levels of hell. You know, some people think this is a parody, but in the seventh level of hell, there's a, you know, it's reserved, you know, for two particular types of people, and it's going to be the sodomites and the usurers. Now, what's funny about this, if you look at it like from an intellectual standpoint, think through this with me for a second. You've got the sodomites, which are the Democrats. They believe in homosexuality. They push homosexuality. They believe that you should have the right to do anything you want to, whoever you want to do it to, whenever you want to do it, and that sodomy is good, and that all of these things have no moral recourse, and that anybody who says that they're wrong from the biblical standpoint is basically a bigot. Okay, that's who they are. And that's what one of the Democratic planks is just open homosexuality, open transgenderism. You know, we know that the gay Kenyon was gay. We know that his wife, you know, supposedly, according to the way she looks when she wears silk dresses, was a transgender. We know all of this. So we've got a gay and a tranny in the White House, and this is what they're pushing. This is the agenda to destroy the hearts and the minds of the people in the United States. But what's interesting about this, let's look at the other side. Let's look at the usurers. The usurers are the ones that are like the capitalists, and a lot of these guys are the ones in the Republican parties. This is big corporations, big government, and they don't care how they make money from people as long as they can rip people off. The big banks are known for this. During the banking crisis, you know, the banks did a whole bunch of crazy stuff back in the mid-2000s, 2006, 2007, and 2008, you know, approving liars' loans and then transferring the ownership of certain houses and other organizations and making them part of derivatives packages, all because of greed. That's pure capitalism run amok. Now, you have to ask yourself the question, who's at the top of these two people? Because you have a triangle there. You have two people. Who's running that? Again, the international banking saboteur cabalist groups of people are running this. These are the guys that are involved in controlling both sides of this narrative. They control the Democratic Party, who is pro-homo, pro-homosexual, pro-liberal, pro-let's get everybody stoned on pot in Colorado, let's get everybody stoned on pot in California, let's legalize drugs everywhere. You know, gay is good, transgender is better. I mean, that's what they promote. But then you got the other guys being controlled by the same groups of people, all through the same banking cartels. So what we have to understand is we're like a we're like a puppet on strings, and they're making us dance any way they want us to dance because they control the money supply. And I'm going to say this again, and I said at the beginning of the year, last year, before Trump took office, I said, until we get rid of the Federal Reserve System of the United States of America, until we nationalize it and make it part of the Treasury and get this junk away from their ability to make money and print it at no cost and then charge us usury and interest on it, until we get rid of that, we're not going to fix this system because we're being controlled by the same taskmaster, the same guys pulling the strings on both sides. They're making Trump say this, and then Trump says that. But Trump's a capitalist, and Trump's answering to these big banks that are also controlling the Democratic Party. It's all a mirror. It's all subterfuge. It's all a lie. It's all obfuscation. The same people control both sides of the narrative. That's why Mancow told me, my good friend from Chicago, one of the top talk stations in Chicago, he told me years ago, he says, Ted, you can say anything you want to say against the Democrats and be a Republican and be incredibly successful on radio. You say anything you want against the Republicans and be a positive Democrat and be incredibly successful on radio, but you can't go down the middle and say both sides are being controlled by the same taskmaster. You can't say that it's okay that you can't say that. You can't start calling out the guy behind the curtain that's controlling everything. And that's what the Rothschild banking cartel is, guys. They're the guys behind the curtain who worship Lucifer, who are in charge of all of this, because none of the stuff we've talked about today can take place without currency, without money, without being a free flow of currency and money and commerce around the country and around the world, which they control. So until we call these guys out for who they are, Austin, it's not going to make one bit of difference who's in the White House. Now, what it does change is how quickly they can start their liberal agenda. What it does change is how quickly they can make transgenderism a normal feature for everybody, you know, to accept. Now the military's going to start taking transgenders back into the military starting today or starting January the 1st, in spite of Trump's executive order. Doesn't make a difference. They're going directly against the commander-in-chief, which is complete and total breach of protocol as far as I'm concerned. But we have to understand who these guys are and what they're doing. They're the same guys that allowed us to bring in all of these Muslim immigrants out of Africa who this weekend in Paris and in France beat a woman almost to death, a police officer, a woman, burned her car, basically. And what's crazy is this. In Paris and in France this weekend, over New Year's night, over 1,000 cars were set alight. This is more than last year, 10% more than last year. 510 people were arrested overnight, you know, up from 400 people last year. And what's crazy is it's not getting any better. In France, it's getting worse and worse and worse. And now they've got this Rothschild-controlled puppet as president who's going to rule like Zeus or Apollo from the doggone throne room, who's basically telling them all that this is okay and they can continue down the slippery slope of collectivism. And guys, this is where it's going. This is what World War II was fought over. This is what happened with all of this. In World War II, it was the fascists against the communists against the rest of the world. This is the same war, the same battle that we're fighting, and we've got to understand something. Unless we see who the perpetrators are, unless we understand who's pulling the strings on whose puppets, it doesn't make any sense, because you're like, well, they said this week, but now they're saying this. That's because it's all done to keep you in confusion. That's why you don't hear me reporting on a lot of the news about what's going on in Washington and all the other stuff. You guys have already heard it anyhow. And if I talk about it, it gives more credence to it. It's all smoke and mirrors in most cases. And that's why we try to talk about the stuff that's going to be relevant to you guys and how you live your lives, Austin. What do you think?
Yeah, it is, and this is one aspect. And back to that France thing, I saw that too. I was shocked by that. I mean, all these numbers up as far as the arrests up, the vehicles that were completely set on fire. Over 1,000 vehicles were set on fire. I mean, that's insane to me. And what's crazy is I read the story about this law enforcement officer, female over there in Paris, who basically got in this confrontation because a bunch of individuals were fighting outside, so she got called to the scene. They turned around and literally started boot stomping her on the ground to another captain police officer arrived on the scene. He tried to run tear gas on them, which they completely just did not even respond to. Then he went to draw his service weapon on them. They didn't even listen to him on that. He didn't even bother to shoot them. He got sucker punched right in the face before he even discharged his firearm. They basically started beating him until more officers arrived, and then they just dispersed into their little underground holes that they have all over the place now over there in Paris. And after they flipped her car and set it on fire as well. And this is what France has brought now to them. This is what they can be proud of as far as their their giant melting pot of demographics now that they have, and it's really sad to see this because Paris used to be a really, really cool place. France used to be a really cool place in general that a lot of people used to go for tourism and all that. I just had a good friend of mine who's in the army, him and his wife actually went over for a European trip all across Europe, and he said by far all the places they went, France was the absolute worst place for Muslim migrants now. He said it was absolutely filthy. Exactly. He said there's trash everywhere. He said there's people laying on mattresses everywhere. It literally looks like a homeless town in some parts of France, literally like full-blown homeless towns to where subsections of the businesses aren't even open anymore. They've already shut down left, boarded up their windows because the migrants have become so violent and so unruly in these areas that nobody goes to shop there anymore. So you have these giant areas, what we bravely refer to as strip malls and stuff like that, that style, completely boarded up, and you have migrants sleeping everywhere. I mean, just mattresses, trash, feces, piles of trash all over the place. And then when anybody goes to show up or do anything, they essentially get robbed or mugged or beat up. And that's how it is over there now, to the point where there's legitimate no-go zones, to the point where there are areas that the mail office, post office, won't even deliver mail anymore now. They've told residences, you have to get a P.O. box, you can pick up your mail at the post office. We will no longer go out there anymore because it has become so violent, which, I mean, it almost sounds like a joke when you first hear that, but when you realize this is really what they're living in now over there, this is what the French residences have now, that they get to say, this is our home, this is where we live, this is where we're proud of, this is what we were raised in. And it's very sad to me because now you see that Poland and Hungary have now been blatantly warned by the EU, the European Court of Justice now is deliberating on allegations that Hungary and Poland violated the legality of EU's migrant quota. Because as we told before, Poland and Hungary have said, absolutely not. We're not taking in these individuals. You can send them to other Muslim countries in the Middle East that should be taking them in, like Saudi Arabia, who's taken in, I think, all of like 1,000 migrants over the last 5 years, 1,000, fit. And that's what they're doing now. They pushed them all into Europe. They said one EU source has said, now we are confident that the ECJ, which is the European Court of Justice, will confirm validation that Poland and Hungary must abide by this decision. If they don't, they will face consequences, both financial and political, since both Hungary and Poland refused to support a quota system of refugee resettlement in 2015. The EU Commission has given Warsaw's Law and Justice PIS party 3 months to change and reverse its reforms, but Poland has remained steadfast and claimed like-minded allies such as Hungary would veto the ultimate sanctions of suspending Poland's voting rights in the bloc as well. So this is what they've done now. If you don't do what we tell you to do, we're basically going to do sanctions on you and completely ruin your country inside of the EU, is what Poland and Hungary are essentially being told now, Dad, because they refuse to let these Muslim migrants come into their country and basically turn their countries into what France and Paris now have sadly become.
Well, England, you know, England's already like that. You know, no-go zone in England. We reported on that last week. Germany's like that. I mean, I remember I talked to a German police officer. I reported on this 2 years ago when we were over there in the Christmas market, and we were there, and there were Muslims everywhere else, and they're all carrying guns and riot gear and everything else. And I asked him, I said, what about the problem you have with the Muslims? And he goes, Angela Merkel's an idiot. You know, he said, we can't tell you how bad this is. We never had to be armed up like this until these guys came over here and said, these guys don't want to work. All they want to do is draw off, the people of Germany, and they want to destroy the very fabric of our society. And I'm like, wow. And I thought, this is ridiculous. But he was very candid with me. He didn't even try to hide it. By the way, let's do a health article real quick. Does being a vegetarian leave you hungry for love? This is from the Daily Mail. Meat eaters have a higher libido than vegetarians. And let's talk about that for a second. 42% of meat eaters, but only about 16% of vegetarians have a relationship with their wife once a week or more. Welsh are at the top of the charts with 49% of eat meat, romping several times a week. The survey was conducted by an online provider of ethically sourced meat. And what's interesting about this is, let me tell you why this happens. It says right here in the article, before you drop your tofu and race off to the butcher's for some juicy steak, you have to realize that there's other statistics involved. And I'm going to say this, and this is why I'm going to say it. when you drop to a vegetarian plant-based diet, I've done this before. I had been a vegetarian. After I had my little bout with pericarditis in my 20s, I decided to become a vegetarian and basically clean my system out. And I did. And I was vegetarian for several years. And I hemorrhaged weight. I dropped down to 157 pounds. I went from about 205 to 157, lost 50 pounds. And I looked like I was the walking skeleton. It looked like I was an emaciated brewer. I looked awful. And I had no strength. I remember one time I finally got my attention, Austin. I used to do, 15 reps of 250 on the bench press. And I got in the gym one day and I was on a universal machine and I put it on 200 pounds. I couldn't do it one rep. Not one rep. Not one rep. Not one single rep. And I thought to myself, I cannot believe how much strength I've lost. So guys, here's the thing. You don't need to eat, 3 pounds of beef a day. That's not healthy. But if you occasionally want to have a good grass-fed steak that's organic, that doesn't have a bunch of pesticides and hormones and all the other kind of junk in it, it's not going to hurt you at all. It's actually good for you. Again, what happens also when you want a plant-based diet, in most cases your testosterone falls through the floor, which further decreases your ability to produce testosterone, which is one of the primary hormones that you have to have in order to continue to have a strong libido. So guys, don't be making this one of your New Year's resolutions that you're going to basically get off of all meat. You're going to go vegetarian. I've never seen a vegetarian yet who didn't look sickly after they've been a vegetarian for a few years. And if you are a vegetarian, you make sure you take your supplements, make sure you take extra B12 because it's very difficult to get B12 in your diet without supplementation if you don't eat meat. So guys, we were released to eat meat after the flood. Now before the flood, human beings didn't eat meat. Period. That's what the Bible says. That's what we need to understand. But after the flood, our bodies were changed and our life expectancies were changed. And quite frankly, we don't get the nutrients that we're supposed to get from the food that we used to eat because the earth has been continually being depleted from a mineral standpoint and the crops are becoming less and less nutrient dense. So we have to make sure we get enough protein in our diet every single day. And one of the ways you can do that is using organic eggs. Free-range organic eggs are probably the best. We had chickens for a long, long time, but then the raccoon or the possum got a hold of those guys. And so we gave them the last couple remaining ones that were alive. We gave them to a friend of ours. And so, the organic eggs are a great source. The wild-caught salmon is another great source also. You better be happy you can get that still because the stockpiles of wild-caught salmon are going down so fast because of the radiation contamination and other factors in Fukushima in the Pacific Ocean. And so there are all kinds of other things. Organic chicken, free-range chicken is fine. You can do that too. There's all kinds of natural things, and we use all of these different recipes in Sharon's new book, Eat Clean and Be Healthy. So if you haven't gotten that book yet, you need to go and get a copy of that for the New Year's as far as eating clean, being healthy for the first of the year, for the rest of this year, for the rest of your life. Because, guys, it's so important that we are an example to the people out there as far as, if we're Christians especially, to be healthy. It's very difficult for a sick, emaciated, tofu Christian who basically has no zest for life whatsoever and simply waiting around to die, it's difficult for that person to win a healthy sinner to Christ. Now you say, well, that's not true. Well, okay, it's not true all of the time. I just said it was difficult. I'm not saying it's not possible. It's just difficult because they have to want to emulate your lifestyle. They have to want to have what you have. And the world didn't give me the peace that I have inside of me, and the world can't take it away. The righteousness and peace and joy comes through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, guys. And so when God gives you that, He expects you to do the best you possibly can, to be the best example you possibly can, so that all may be saved. Guys, it's really important that we understand that. So for a New Year's resolution, don't stop eating meat. Come on down here one day and we can all go out and have a steak for lunch. What do you think, Austin?
Well, you're absolutely right about that. And as you said, it is difficult. It's actually very difficult, in my opinion, because, if you run into somebody that's, say, heathen, but, they work out all the time, they actually eat pretty clean, and they see you, and you're basically claiming to be a Christian, and you're extremely skinny and frail, and your health's poor, and you claim you're vegetarian, but you're doing so well, it's really hard to buy into that. You don't really look at it and go, wow, that's somebody that I really want to be like. I'll just keep doing what I'm doing, because obviously I'm in a lot better shape than they are. I'm not saying that's the end in all cases, but that's what Dad's talking about a lot. It's the same thing when I've been to churches before, and the pastor gets in front of the pulpit, and he's 150, 200, 300 pounds overweight. He's talking about eating pork all the time and talking about going out and getting cheeseburgers and eating junk food, and I'm sitting there going, am I really going to follow your teachings biblically on almost anything when you can't even do a simple thing like not be a glutton? And I'm not being mean. I'm not trying to talk down to anybody, but what I'm saying is eating even decently and in good health as far as not eating unbelievably bad food for you all the time and letting your body weight go up to 400, 500, 600 pounds isn't something that's that difficult to do. And people go, well, Austin, you've done this most of your life. You've been into bodybuilding and weight training and eating clean. I have. And I've also worked with people that have had zero background in that and completely been able to change their overall diet and lifestyle in just a few months. And they've done it for years and years and years after that without any issues. The whole aspect is what you're willing to do to make the changes. And so many people now are wrapped up in this Amazon mentality where I buy it today, I have it tomorrow. I want to have it right now. I don't want to wait a second for it. So they go in the gym one day, they start eating clean, and they don't see results within 2 to 3 days, and they go, oh, this is ridiculous. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go back to doing what I'm doing. Well, you didn't put on 300 to 400 pounds of extra body weight by doing it in one day. It happened over months and years of eating like that. So you can't expect anybody to have results that fast. But making changes, eating clean, taking good quality supplements, like Dad and I, we talked to somebody the other day, they're wanting to do a New Year's fast, essentially, but don't want to just fast because that's really essentially not that healthy for the body, especially muscle tissue. So the Superfood Complete is a good formula that we have for that, and throwing in some cod liver oil and the Ultimate Multiple, and you have yourself a very good plant-based fast system that you can do where you're still getting in good amount of nutrients and protein, and you're not going to hemorrhage weight, but you're going to be able to detox your system and get on the right track, especially afterwards. You'll have a fresh body and all the organs will be cleaned out, and you'll have the ability to start eating clean and have it affect you more positively, more quickly, if that makes any sense. So, yeah, there's a lot of aspects of that, Dad, but you're absolutely right. Sitting there looking just unbelievably healthy and horrible and then trying to preach to people about Christ isn't the best way to go. Can it be done? Yes. Is it the best route to go? I don't think so.
Well, unhealthy and a little bad, but, you know, this pastor's got a big church, and he basically every year he goes on a 21-day fast, and he's been on a bunch of water fasts for 21 days. Now, I would never recommend a water fast for 21 days unless you're under medical supervision, period. That's just the way it is, because you can have low blood sugar when you're driving a car or whatever with the water fast, and you can run off the road and you kill yourself or kill somebody else. Plus, you have so many toxins built up in your system, you basically have a situation where your body starts purging a bunch of these things, breaking down fat cells, including old drugs and chemicals, et cetera, and it's all released, and you have to have a way to get that back out of your system. So, you know, doing a water fast is rough, but if you do a fast like with the Superfood Complete, you can take, like, you know, whatever your ideal body weight is, if it's 160 pounds, take 1,600 calories a day, which is 10% of your body weight, or 10 times your ideal body weight, take 10 times your ideal body weight in calories per day, if this Superfood Complete, and you can go on a 7-day fast for a week, and you'll probably lose 3 or 4 or 5 pounds. You know, if you stay on for 3 weeks, you may lose 15 pounds. But what you won't be losing, you won't be going into a deep-seated mineral reserve. You won't be taking the minerals back out of your body because your body's going to continue to get the nutrients for that 7 days or that 14 days or that 21 days. By the way, here's an interesting article here from the Daily Mail, and it says, inside the brutal world of America's body harvesting industry, how seedy brokers buy up our recently dead for as little as $6,000, then sell everything from kidneys to fingernails for research. A biological resource center harvested human remains and sold them to other companies to use for, quote, research. People who worked for BRC had to use barbaric tools to dismember bodies. The FBI raided BRC for suspected fraud against donors and buyers, shutting it down. Reuters conducted interviews about the working practices and the people whose bodies were harvested and sold. I mean, this is some crazy stuff, guys. I mean, Sam Kazemi stood over the old man's corpse. Nearby lay pliers, a scalpel, and a motorized saw designed to cut drywall and pipe. That's how they dissected this dead guy. On a busy day, Kazemi might harvest body parts from 5 or 6 people who had donated their bodies to science. On this day in November, the corpse before Kazemi typified the donors who gave the remains to his employer, Biological Resource Center. So, I mean, I'm not going to read you the rest of this. You guys can go read this online. But the problem is, guys, this is very disrespectful to the people that have died. It's very disrespectful to the people that are still left for those people. And it's sad to me that these guys are going out and doing kind of this stuff and profiting from the poor and profiting from the dead. And that they're having such a... I'm going to stop talking about this. This goes right up there with Planned Parenthood, guys, selling aborted fetuses and aborted baby parts, guys. It nauseates me, and this practice should be stopped, and it should be made illegal. Austin, what do you think?
Yes, absolutely. There's absolutely no excuse for that whatsoever, but again, it's another way that these guys can make money, so it is what it is. also too, it really is sick to me that nothing more is done about this. I mean, a lot of these guys get away with it on a regular basis because of the kickbacks and the money they do. But I mean, that's a pretty dark industry to be in. I mean, whether it's legal or not legal, that's just, there's something sick about you if that's what you want to do on a regular basis, is basically cut up bodies and sell it. That's really sick. Also too, in, other news too, I saw an article that basically was going into, we were talking about the cashless society earlier with 2020. You know, China is pushing very hard for a fully cashless society, and here's an direct example of what is exactly going on and why they're trying to do a lot of this, and the things they're doing and implementing to make it more and more difficult for you to be able to get cash. Starting this year now, Beijing will implement new limits on the amount of money people can withdraw from their Chinese bank accounts while overseas. Under the new rules, individuals will be allowed only to withdraw a maximum of 1,000 yen, or basically $15,000 per year total, regardless of how many separate bank accounts or ATM cards they have. Under the current rules, there is an annual ATM withdrawal cap of 1,000 per card, but there are no rules to stop people from having multiple cards attached to a different account with different banks. However, now they are monitoring all of this. They said the exchange regulator that if any Chinese is found using mainland bank cards to withdraw more than essentially $15,000 per year from overseas ATM within a calendar year, they will be fully barred from taking out cash using their mainland bank card for the rest of the year as well as the following year. They said international experiences have shown that large cash transactions are oftenly associated with criminal activities such as fraud, gambling, money laundering, and terrorism, as that's honestly the blatant saying that they use, the catchphrase they get everybody, is it's used in money laundering and terrorism. So we're doing it for your protection, essentially, to make sure that you don't get involved in something. The sad part is, it's my money and I want it when I want it. You shouldn't have to ask or be restricted. $15,000 a year maximum withdrawal, guys, that's $1,250 a month, $1,250 a month. That's the maximum you're allowed to draw now, essentially, out of your ATM cards while you're overseas. This is what they're doing very slowly so they can push it down. They've already done this in a lot of aspects of Europe now, to the point where you can't even go and withdraw more than a couple thousand dollars out of your own bank account at your own branch over in Germany and France. You can't even do it. Won't even let you do it. Can't do it. $1,500 cap, $3,000 cap, $5,000 cap in some instances. And this is what they're doing all over the globe now to bring in this digital one world currency. And in my opinion, that's what they're using this Bitcoin hype for right now, as I've talked about so many times, to kind of get a template base to see how everybody's going to respond to a fully cashless digital currency, Dev.
Where it's headed. The Bible says it's going that way. By the way, German police have accused a right-wing lawmaker of incitement over an anti-Muslim tweet. You guys are going to get a kick out of this. This is from Westphalia, which is where my mom was raised. Hardcore, it's called, they speak Hochdeutsch there. Hardcore Germany. German police have asked prosecutors to investigate a far-right lawmaker for possible incitement to hatred after she criticized police for tweeting in Arabic. Police in the state of North Rhine-Westphalia, there you go, posted a New York New Year's Eve greeting in Arabic as well as in German, English, and French. Now remember, this is Germany. They speak Hochdeutsch, this is the High German there. Cologne, a city where groups of mainly Arab immigrants were accused of sexually assaulting New Year's Eve celebrations 2 years ago. Over 1,000 people were assaulted. And then this lady says basically, what the HE double sticks is wrong with this country? Why is the official page of police in RW, Westphalia, tweeting in Arabic? Dietrich von Storz, a member of the anti-migrant Alternative for Air Germany, wrote in December 31st in a tweet that was later detected by Twitter after receiving complaints from members of the public. Here's what she said. Are they seeking to appease the barbaric Muslim rapist hordes of men? I'll repeat that. I got to say that twice. Are they seeking to appease the barbaric Muslim rapist hordes of men? She added. And her, of course, they suspended her Twitter account. But you know, guys, you know, sometimes you got to call it what it is. And you know, when people like to burn 1,000 cars, you kind of have the tendency to want to send them back to where they came from. Guys, I love you. Thank you so much for being with us last year and already starting with us this year. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thanks for supporting Health Masters. Thanks for being our friends. Thanks for praying for us. You guys are awesome. And I appreciate it. I consider it an honor to do this show and to be with you guys every single day. And quite frankly, this 3 o'clock in the afternoon, little hour that we do the show, becomes the highlight of my day most of the time, because I know I get to talk to you guys and you're my friends. I appreciate you. God bless you. Austin, I'll do the write-up. Go ahead and close, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely. One last article for today now, involving pharmaceuticals. They're saying now a record number of pharmaceutical drugs were prescribed this past year in England. Basically, the United Kingdom's National Health System uncovered an alarming 1.1 million prescriptions for conditions that can mostly be avoided with better lifestyle choices. They said all the opportunities of the digital age and an interconnected world cannot appease minds that are so eager to accept a depression diagnosis and a steady stream of pills. The health survey found that 10% of people are now on antidepressants. 1 in 7 people are taking statins. 1 in 7 people are taking blood pressure meds. More than half of adults are on some kind of prescription drug now, and 10% report taking 6 or more different prescription drugs in a given week. The survey, which included more than 8,000 adults. And this is something that you really have to address this year. If you have something that you are wanting to get better, if you're wanting to come off of medications, you have to discuss that with your doctor and figure out what's the best route to take. But there are so many natural approaches you guys can take now, just in a natural aspect, from vitamin E and the HGH stimulate with healthy blood pressure, to the cinnamon extract and the cod liver oil and turmeric for healthy blood sugar, to all these different things you can do on a usually very easy budget, very honestly, not even changing your lifestyle that much, maybe tweaking a few things in your diet, throwing in some foods from a healthy cookbook that we have now, the Eat Clean and Be Healthy, and adding in a couple different supplements and a little bit of exercise. It doesn't have to be some massive change to where you're completely exhausted and you don't know how to cope with all these different changes. It doesn't have to be that. Just start changing a few things a week and see how it progresses over the next couple months. Easiest thing you can do, guys. But we appreciate your support. We're glad to be in the new year now. A lot of stuff planned this year, a lot of cool stuff we're going to be getting done. So be sure to check out the website at healthmasters.com if you guys need anything at all. Be sure to vote on the product of the week. Right now, there's a bunch of them that are really pushing pretty hard, so be sure to get on there and vote for the ones you want. And the joint rebuilding formula will be on sale till basically tonight, early tomorrow morning, probably tomorrow morning, for over 10% off. That's the one that's on sale right now, is the current product of the week, the joint rebuilding formula. So be sure to give that a try and also vote on the other products you want and check out the other kits that we have on sale as well at healthmasters.com. Also, if you need anything, give us a call, 1-800-726-1834. We do have the contact form back up now, so you can go into the search bar at the top and type in the word contact, fill out the contact form, and we will respond to those emails as quickly as possible. We appreciate everything you guys do. Thank you for your support, your time, and your energy. Everything we appreciate, guys. You have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.